Okay, do me a favor, stay focused today. Look at your neighbor and say, stay focused. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I want to talk to you today about the power of the Word of God. The power of God's written Word. And I want to show you that if we will be obedient to what God has written in His Word, that our life can be supernatural, that we can live beyond the pale of circumstances. God has never intended for His people to live like everyone else. Never intended His people to live like everyone else. And that's why Jesus said, no, it's good that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you. The Bible says that God sent His Word. His Word. You know, sometimes I think that we don't recognize what we have in our laps. This Word is so powerful. And I'm going to show it to you. If you're taking notes, and I hope you are taking notes, I encourage you to take notes, because you remember more of what you write down. How many know we have to be focused now more than any other time? How many know we need to be focused? The Bible says, as the day approaches, how many know things aren't going to be like they are? There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to rule and reign with God. Everything God said in His Word is going to happen. So don't get used to how things are, because things are changing. How many see things changing right now in a like catastrophic way? How many see some things changing in a negative way, in a catastrophic way? Okay, well, don't be discouraged, amen? We talked last week about, you know what, the mockers and the scoffers, they're going to come. Well, so what? When Satan comes in like a flood, the Bible says God raises up a standard against him. Amen. So it might be different, but you know what? It's going to be good different. Amen. And we're going to be victorious. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. We're victorious. One of the reasons we're victorious is because we rely on God's written Word. It is powerful. You're going to walk away today, and after you walk away, you're going to be more confident, more secure in knowing all I have to do is look at the written Word and obey what God has told me. And you know what? In His Word. And I tell you what, I'm going to have, you know, God tells Joshua, He says, if you will observe my word, if you'll just stick on my word, if you will stop looking to the left and stop looking to the right and turn off the TV and turn off the radio. Oh, I didn't say that. Turning around. But there's things that you and I do to look to the left and look to the right. And He says, no, Joshua, what you got to do is you just got to stay on my word. Meditate on it day and night to observe, to do what's written in there. Not what you hear this person say and that person say. How many know there's all kinds of people, even Christian people, are going to tell you this and tell you that? And how many know even our own minds, we can get off in thinking, oh, this and that. And no, just stick to the Word of God. What is God saying in His written Word? How many hearing what I'm saying today? And He says, if you'll do that, watch this, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. But I don't think you should. You know, there's these elitist Christians. And it just trips me out, because some of them, you know what, are driving pretty nice cars themselves. But I tell you what, when you start talking about the blessings of God, they get all sanctified. Well, you know what? It's not about the blessings of God. Well, you know what? You can hardly turn a page that you don't see the blessings of God in the Bible. The New Testament even says, you know what, that our covenant, we have a new covenant, and it's based on better promises. Can you say amen to this? But these self-righteous, you know what, people want to act like there's not blessings in the Bible. Act like you are unspiritual because you're going to talk about all the blessings of God that he's promised us. No, let's start talking about the blessings of God. Amen. Why? Because they're in the Word of God. Come on. Did you? Some of you not have your coffee yet because you're way too quiet. Amen. Let me teach you this. Can I teach you something? I don't hear you like, well, I'm just a pastor. I'm not like all Pentecostal like you are. This isn't about being Pentecostal. Get over yourself. Amen. Some of you young kids, get over yourself. You know what? You're like, I'm too cool to say amen, man. I'm too cool. Get over yourself. Amen. Can I teach you something? Gentlemen. Well, you know what? That's where I'm too dignified. Get undignified. If that's what you call dignified, you need to look at the Bible. Amen. God likes, you know what, when we get excited about the Word of God. And you know why I want you to say amen? Because you believe more of what you say. Amen. You got to get connected to what I'm talking about. I said, you got to get connected to what I'm talking about. Sit there and listen to an hour of preaching and walk away and you don't get anything from it. Of course you didn't get anything from it. You weren't connected, amen? And saying amen connects you to me and gets you started to think about something. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, let me stop there. Let me stop there and preach around here for a minute. Let me brag on my brother. When we came up, you know what? He said, just gave me a big hug and said, you know what, Pastor, I'm so glad to see you. Just was pumped up. It's what I'm telling you. It's what I'm preaching to you. You know what? The more pumped up you get, the better my sermons are going to get. And let me just tell you what, this is going to sound braggadocious. My sermons are good whether you get it or not. Did he say? Listen, just because it's the Word of God, and that's all I'm saying. Don't think I'm all, you know what, it's just because of the Word of God. But what I'm saying is, and listen, and I'm not saying that maybe you didn't have maybe you had some just cruddy circumstances happen in your life. I understand that. But we have to recognize we're here to receive. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they're life. They're gonna, you know what? But watch what we do. I don't know who this is for. This isn't even in my introduction, but this is in the Holy Spirit's introduction. You know what? And what we do is we convince the person next to us that it's kind of boring. Amen? Do you understand? See, how is this church going? Are we going? Are we getting pumped? Because let me tell you what, as the day approaches, we need to get more on fire for Christ, not less on fire for Christ. And people coming in this church, they ought to recognize, whoa, this church, I'll tell you what, this church got it going on. You know, I don't understand that, Pastor. He thinks what he's saying is, yeah, I do think what I'm saying is important. And what I'm telling you is you need to start recognizing what I'm saying is important. Amen. That's right. You know, there was a church and they received Paul. They weren't saying he was Jesus, but they received him understanding the anointing that he had. Amen. Are you ready to learn something today? Are you ready to say amen today? Are you ready to stay connected today? So I want to talk to you about the power of the Word of God. Let's just read it. It's not very many verses, but let's start by reading it, and then I'll just go through it and tell you what jumps out at me and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 22, starting with Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get in a boat. We'll just stop there. Wow, we didn't get very far. Jesus should be able to make you do something. Jesus ain't going to tell me. Nobody's going to tell me nothing. That's your problem, amen? Can I tell you what? I believe Jesus didn't forcefully pick up Peter and say, you know what, you know, I don't think he did that to all 12. When the Bible says it made him, one version says he commanded them, which I think is a better word picture. He didn't make them, he commands them, and they were obedient to his command. Are you learning something? Made them get into the boat and go before him to the other side. So they're in the boat, they're going to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Are you catching the word picture? Tossed by the waves. Where this is at, it's this big sea, and around it, it's kind of in this valley. And in this valley, there the wind can come down over the mountains into the valley, which is where the sea is. And it very quickly, it can be totally calm, but very quickly it can turn into a mess. Really, really bad, crazy. So that's what's happened. When he had set multitudes away, verse 23, he went up to the mountain to pray. Now, when the evening had come, he was alone there. But verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch, that's between 3 and 6 in the morning of the night, Jesus went to him walking on the sea. When the multitude saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Incredible story. One of the best stories, I believe, in the whole New Testament, and there's a ton of new stories. If you're taking notes, I have, I think, 3 or 4 sermon titles, so you pick which one. Number one, Peter walks on the water. Number two, the Word of God can rock your world. Number three, the power of acting on God's Word. And number four, I like this one, I think the best. Peter, a great example and a horrible example, all in the same day. My first point is this. Fear is one of the main ways that Satan tries to control us. Watch this. They see Jesus walking on the water, and they're freaked out. How many know fear? Satan uses fear to control you. And he uses fear to control you, to try to get you to not move, not act, not hesitate according to what God has said. Listen, when you see God speak something in the Word, I'm talking about in the Bible, you need not to hesitate. But Satan wants us to doubt and fear. But the Bible says, watch this, God hasn't given us a spirit. One version says, God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity. Oh, I'm not sure. If you see it in the word, do it. If you see it in the word, act upon it. If you see it in the Bible, you know that it is true and you need to act upon it. But what Satan wants to do is get you to be afraid, get you to being fearful, you know what? Get you to withdraw, get you, you know, what does the Bible say? The Bible says to forgive. The Bible says that the same way we pray it, you know what? It's the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord who art out in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus is saying that your trespasses are going to be forgiven as you forgive others. The Bible said it another way, that with the same measure that you measure out, that's how it's going to be measured back to you. When God got done saying it, then Jesus said, if you will not forgive others their sin, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you of your sin. How many know we need to get that theology? Amen. We think that God's grace is going to trump that. Well, yeah, but God's grace overrides what Jesus said. No, listen, it's not opposite. There's no better theology than the theology of Jesus Christ. So really put that in your purse and swing it. Instead of arguing and trying to get a square peg in a round hole, you know, as you think that you don't have to forgive people, you know, as you've justified your not forgiving people, as you hold grudges and hold gripes and hold, some of these are people in your family. Well, Pastor, don't start talking about my family, because I think my family can really tick me off and it's okay. Jesus doesn't have any exclusion in your crazy family. And I got crazy family like you got crazy family. You don't have to raise your hand. I already know you got crazy family. Amen. Amen. We all got crazy family. How many know we are the crazy family? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Amen. But you need to let that go. You need to stop it. You need to just see it in the Word of God. If God says it, you need to understand that you need to act upon His written Word. Amen. Amen. What does Satan want to do? He wants to get you fearful. Yeah, but listen. Yeah, but if I do, listen. I'm going to speak to some ladies for a minute. Ladies, you listening to me? Your pastor's talking to you. You're listening to me? Don't answer this. How many have had some men that have hurt you? I said, don't answer this. You have to answer. I already know the answer. Listen, if you don't forgive those men, some of them are for some of you, it's many men. If you don't get over it, you're going to take that into your relationship and it will infect your relationship. You know, the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. Yeah. And you're going to take a hurt that you might have been hurt 10 years ago, 10 months ago, 10 days ago, and you're going to take it right into your relationship that you have now. And it's going to infect it all. And you're going to sit there and think, well, I don't know. I don't understand. And it'll be five different guys, and all the guys are jacked up. I'm going to tell you before I even start, of course they're all jacked up. Amen? Because everybody's jacked up. And I'm not giving men a license to not treat women. You know what I mean? I like that old Motown song. You know what? Treat her like, got to treat her like, treat her like, got to treat her like. How many know this song? Treat her like a lady. Come on, some of us know that song, all right? Come on. Okay. See, I'm not giving men a license to just, you know what, not treat women like the princesses that they are. Really? Really? Men? Come on, stop it. Yeah, but my dad didn't treat my mom. Well, who cares how your dad treated your mom? You're born again, amen? Hallelujah. You're learning something today. God encouraged Christians to fear not 365 times in the Bible. 365 times you're going to read God saying, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear, fear not, don't fear, don't fear, do fear not. And these guys are, watch this, these guys are freaking out. Watch this, I'm going to preach this. Somebody needs to hear this. Jesus, you know what Jesus is doing right now? I'm not saying right now, I mean in the story right now. You know what Jesus is doing right now? He's acting like Jesus. What do you mean? He's not confined by circumstances. He's walking on the water. Now listen, I don't mind if some people freak out when Jesus acts like Jesus, but I do mind when the church freaks out when Jesus acts like Jesus. Oh, you're missing a good time to say amen. You know what? And we can't have, oh, you know what? Somebody stands up and in an appropriate time. I said the appropriate time. Somebody stands up and they give a prophetic word right in the middle of the service at the appropriate time. Did I say the appropriate time? You know what? Somebody has a tongue. Somebody has an interpretation of tongue. Somebody has a word. Somebody has a prophetic word. Somebody walks in the prophetic as God is calling them to walk on the prophetic. And in the church, we don't exalt that. That freaks us out. We squash that. We shut that down. We go, no, 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 no. That's not in order. No, when Jesus acts like Jesus, it's not a bad thing. And he's going to be supernatural. Amen. Watchman Nee wrote a great book, and his book was called The Normal Christian Life. And in his book, his premise was, hey, Christians ought to get used to walking in the supernatural. It should be the normal Christian life. Our churches ought to be filled with stories and expectations of expecting healings and expecting words of God and expecting the supernatural to show up. Amen. And when it happens, thank you, brothers. Thank you, my brothers. And when it happens, we should get all freaked out. And who am I blaming mostly? I'm blaming mostly the leadership and pastors of churches who have squashed it, 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 squashed it. And now their congregations, our members, are just afraid to do anything led of the Spirit because it will be judged that as out of order. That is out of order. That is out of order. You're out of order, and you're out of order, and you're out of order. And after a while, we just go, ooh, we better not do anything but sit here and do nothing. Amen, and God help us. God help us. We think, oh no, the Pentecostal churches do that. This is not about being Pentecostal. This is about being New Testament church. That's what it's about. Amen. There was a black pastor, and he was an evangelist, actually, and he wrote letters to all these different churches asking them if they needed him to come and speak. And some churches responded to him. Well, one of the churches that responded to him, you know what? He came, and when he came, you know what? They didn't recognize he was black. And one of the elders went to him and said, I'm sorry. When you wrote the letter and we accepted your invitation, we had no idea that you're black. You can't speak here today. And when he left, as he was leaving and he was in the parking lot, he was just so grieved with what had taken place. And he was so grieved, and he was just speaking to God, and he was talking about how grieved he was. And he heard the Holy Spirit said, oh, don't worry about it, my friend. You know what? They kicked you out today. They kicked my Holy Spirit out 8 years ago. What am I saying? I'm saying, God help us. And I understand, and I understand, and I understand that we can be, that the supernatural can be woe to us. What I'm saying is, it shouldn't be woe to us. And if it is, you know what? Start working on the reality that you wouldn't freak out when Jesus acts like Jesus. Is somebody learning something today? We need to allow Jesus to act like Jesus. And it might freak them out, but it shouldn't freak us out. let me just say this. This is a side note, but I want to say it because of where we're at. Parents, please pay attention to what your kids are watching and listening to. You know what? I went into Home Depot the other day, and you know what? I mean, just like whatever, 10 feet tall, this, you know, and, you know, all this. It's like, yuck. You know what I mean? Why don't you sell some hammers or something? But yuck. You know what I'm saying? And we need to, parents, not be too busy to pay attention to what our kids are watching. And let me say this. Someone listening to me today? How many know Walt Disney died a long time ago? I said Walt Disney died a long time ago. Just because it's Disney doesn't mean it's godly. Amen. You better pay attention. You better pay attention to the leaven that they're putting in the cake. Amen. You better pay attention. Amen. And for those of you who have teenagers, you know what I mean? My son's, how old is Tyler now? Come on, man. You're the mama. You, I got to get it, man. 21? Tyler was in the kitchen the other day, and I came behind Tyler, gave him a big hug, kissed him. You know what? I said, Tyler, I love you. He said, and he was doing something. He was like, man. I was like, hey, you ain't too big for me to kiss you. I love what Tyler said. He said, I know it. I was just doing something. See, you know what I knew? Tyler appreciated when I did that to him. Amen. Amen. Here's what I'm saying to you, parents. You know what? Your kids are not too old to kiss. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now get ready to say amen to this. Amen. And your kids ain't too old for you to jack them up. Amen. Oh, see, you thought that was all. You're all amen, amen, amen. Whoa, wait a minute. No, listen. Some of your kids at 14, they need your guidance more than they ever needed your guidance. At 18, they need your guidance more than, you know what? And they're going to say, well, you know what? I'm 18. I can do whatever. Hey, Jackson, who do you think pays for your phone, man? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See, we just want to go. Well, no. You are in charge of your home. Don't relinquish that authority. Amen. And I'm not saying at 18, 19, 20, 21, I'm not saying that you don't have to make an adjustment. You do need to make an adjustment. But that adjustment doesn't need to mean that you're just going to lose control of everything. They need your guidance. How many learning something today? Number one, you know what? Understand fear is the main way that Satan tries to control us. And you can't let him do that. Number two, man's reaction to Jesus functioning in the supernatural is to be afraid. I already talked about that. We need to not be afraid when Jesus acts like Jesus. Number three, the word is powerful to accomplish what is asked in the command. The word is powerful to accomplish what is asked in the command. Peter is freaked out like all of them. Jesus very quickly says, no, don't be freaked. It's me. You don't need to be afraid. It is I. Don't be afraid. So then Peter, what's Peter thinking about? I don't know. It's Peter's personality. We're going to talk about it in a minute. I like Peter's personality. Peter stands up and says, hey, if that's really you, tell me to come. Well, Jesus is like, come on, Jackson. Let's go, man. Here's what I'm saying. Peter had the word of God. You know what? There's some things that you're freaked out on, but you have the word of God on it. I'll just give you one. Actually, I'll give you more than one, but well, I don't know. I'll start with one. You know what? The fear that people have to become a tither, a real tither, It freaks most people out. Raise your hand if you're 40 or under. Raise your hand if you're 40 or under. Raise your hand real high, 40 or under. Come on, be proud of it. Okay, listen, if you're 40 or under right now, get your hand up. I'm talking, that was my daughter, just so you know.
Oh man, Pastor, it was in that girl's face, man.
Okay, that was my daughter. But I'll say it to you too. Get your hand up. If you're 40 or younger, get your hand up. I need to preach to you for a little bit. Amen? Listen, when the Bible calls you to be a tither, and it calls you to that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's no age limit on that. I don't know why. If you look and see, if you look and just look at the chart and look and see, you know what? The 70-year-olds are better givers than the 60-year-olds. The 60-year-olds are better givers than the 50-year-olds. The 50-year-olds are better givers than the 40-year-olds. The 40-year-olds are better givers than the 30-year-olds. And once you get under 40, you know what? It is very sparse. Amen. And what I'm saying to you, if you're 40 or younger, it's your responsibility to fund the kingdom of God, just like it's anybody's responsibility to fund the kingdom of God. I'm driving around in my Carmagia thinking that I'm a tither, I'm blessed of the Lord, listening to preaching, you know what I mean? I mean, just loving Jesus, man. I'm on the worship team. Man, come on. I love Jesus. You know what? And the whole time, not funding the kingdom a bit. And maybe I didn't make as much money as somebody who was 50 years old, but you know what? By that time, I was making some pretty good money working in the grocery store. You know what? And I'm listening to a preacher, and he said, you know what your problem is? You're just selfish. You're just stingy. You know what? And that was the day that changed my life forever. Listen, don't be, I'm talking to people who are under 40. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And if you think it's not your responsibility in your, you know what, $14.25 an hour responsibility to bring the tithe into the storehouse, you know what, you think it's just somebody else's responsibility. Hey, are you a Christian or are you not a Christian? Because you ever, but my wife, she don't let me, I'm talking about husband. I don't even know what we do with our finances. Well, I tell you what, you better figure it out, amen? You better find out. Or vice versa. My husband, he don't let me do nothing with. Well, you know what? You better have a talk to your husband. And if you're single, you better have a talk to yourself. When you get home, have a talk to yourself and say, you know what? How come I think that I don't have to fund anything? I'm just going to sit and eat the Doritos and let everybody else row. Let all the 60-year-olds row. You know what I mean? We'll let Connie tithe, and we'll let Hazel tithe. Amen. Because that's what they do. No. This is if it's in the Word of God, it's for us. Amen. And you think that, you know what, that God doesn't care about your what you're doing in your finances? He says where your finances are, that's where your heart is. You don't ever fund the kingdom of God, and you think you're all in with God? You ain't all in with God. Amen. Are you learning something today? Pastor, what should I do? I hope your heart is cut to the heart. Amen. We need you. We need your tithe. Well, the truth is, we're going to function with or without your tithe. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. But you need to get all in. You need to stop acting like you're not, you know what, just faking yourself out. You know, the Bible says you can be self-deceived. You think you're all saved. You think you're all born again. You think you're all that in a bag of chips. You think, you know what, and you are just deceived completely. Are you learning something today? See, the power is in the, listen, the power to accomplish what you need to accomplish is right there in his word. All, what did Peter have? Peter had a word. What was the word? Come. It came from Jesus. I'm not talking about the prophetic that somebody out there said, oh, you ought to do this. And I've seen so many people get so off the plan of God listening to, you know what, to listen, just so off. Amen. Completely off. I'm just talking about the word that God has written in his word. Peter had it. What was the word? Come. And with that one word was the power to sustain him above that. See, let's go back to tithing. The lie is that God won't sustain you. That's the lie. That's he's lying to you. Trust me. Trust me. You'll do better functioning on 90% than you will be functioning in 100%. Why? Because you start functioning in the blessings of God. Now you get God in part of your finances. You're out there doing it yourself. And he scares you and lies to you because that's how he works, through fear, trying to convince you and has convinced you that if you can't live on 90%. Are you learning something today? Yes, Hazel.
When you tithe, you're just giving part of what God's already given you. Give it back to him. He's the one who deserves it. And tithing is the best thing I ever did in my whole entire life, other than accepting the Lord to be my Savior. It is the best thing I did because he's given me so much more than I've ever given him. And if you could just listen to what Pastor Drew's saying, give with a happy, hilarious heart, and you'll be rewarded beyond your belief.
Thank you, Tim. See, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says we will defeat Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and if we're not afraid of our lives, stop being afraid. Stop walking in fear. You know what? Just understand that as soon as you do it, the power is in the word. Then all you have to do is function in it. And I'm telling you what, you're going to be better. You will be, trust me. Don't trust me. Trust God. That's what he says. Trust me. And let me prove it to you, he says. Let me show you. You will function better in 90% than you will in 90% and God's help, 100% without God's help. Oh, watch this. Are somebody listening to me? Sometimes we just have wrong theology. Oh, what are you saying? You're saying God is not going to, if I don't tithe, God is not going to. Well, what does the Bible say? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God resists the proud. I didn't come up with it. The Bible says God resists the proud. What's the proud? The proud is, I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to live off 100%. That's the proud. And God says, oh, that's you going to do it by yourself? Okay, go for it. And the testimony today has been, you know what, that nope. Let's not allow that fear to creep into our lives. Peter, what does Peter have? Peter has this written word of God. How many are still glad you came today? Listen to this. Connect with this. Listen to this. It's up on the screens. Isaiah 55:11. So shall the word be that goes forth from my mouth. This is the words. This is the Bible is what I'm talking about. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper the thing which I send it. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What's the gospel of Christ? This is the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the good news, one version said. I'm not ashamed of God's word. Why? Because it, watch this, for it is the power, say power, of God unto wholeness. You want to get whole? The power is in you looking and finding what the Bible says and obeying what it says. That's the power to get done what you need to get done. Watch this. I've got it underlined. Do I have it in yellow up here?
Come on, yellow.
Oh. No. Let's see if we can get it in yellow. Watch this. For everyone who believes, let's say it together. For everyone who believes, what does that mean? That it's not for you if you don't believe. Well, I know I have the word of God. I know God said that, but I... Fear. And if you will step out of the boat, step out of your worry, step out of your... Just start to recognize, no, the word will... What sustained Peter above the water? The word. Are you catching this? Say, but oh, Pastor, I'm blessed. No, you're not blessed, and you don't walk in the blessings of God. And here's why you don't: because you won't do what God asks you to do in His written word. And you're never going to be blessed because it never was intended for you. The wholeness you're not walking on because it ain't. It's only for everyone who believes. It doesn't say for everyone. See, the Bible says, don't take away from the word. You can't take away from the word. You can't add to the word. Yeah, but I think you can't add to the word and you can't take it away. This who believes, you can't take that away. You're going to take that away and you're going to think you're still going, oh, I'm going to walk in the blessing. No, you're not. 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 I don't think you should say that. All I'm telling you is what the Bible said. Your pastor should always say what the Bible says. Amen. That's why I tell you to put that in your purse and swing it. I'm trying to graciously say, hey, if somebody ought to move, it ought to be you. Amen. So put that in your purse and swing it. That's a nice way of me kind of being saying, hey, who are you to argue with what the Bible says? God will resist the proud, but He gives more grace to the humble. There's somebody who's going to humble out today and say, finally, oh my goodness, I need to just start obeying what God says in His written word. Are you learning something today? John 6:63, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and their life. They're spirit. You'll read the word of God and you'll hear it and God will be saying, that's you, man. I want you to start doing that. I want you to start forgiving. I want you to start being generous. I want you to start to walk in love to others. I want you to start. And you're like, oh, that's for me? Yeah, you know what it is? It's those words that are bringing this spirit, this life. My words are spiritual. This isn't just like a book. This is alive. This is God speaking to you. And what's the power? All you have to do. See, when he heard the come, when Jesus told him to come, the power was there. Watch this. When he got it in your, you ever get in your mind, you're going to do something? He had the word of God. When he had the word of God, the power, he was sustained above the water before he ever got out of the boat. Why? Because as soon as he decided, I'm getting out of the boat, before he, you know, he's putting his one, you know, leg, boom, the power's already there. He is going to be sustained as soon as he hits that water. Why? Because he's already acted on the word of God. The power is there, but when you act on it, it's when the stick of dynamite hits the match. And that is, but the dynamite had the power all the time. Are you learning something? Had the power all the time. All you had to do, that's why I'm telling you what, it was done as soon as he was like, dang, man, I'm going out there. He wasn't in the water before. It was already done. It was already, boom. It was, and then when he got the other foot out of the boat, he's walking on the water. Why? Because the power of God was there to sustain him. All he had to do was act on what God told him to do. How many are learning something? Come on to the back. How many are learning something? Y'all back there, y'all learning something? The power was there to sustain him. You getting this? Well, how come he... Yeah, but that's not how it ended. How come he... Well, good question. How come? What happened? You know what? Boom. He pulled it back. You know, how many know the Bible says you can't serve two masters? Right. For you're either love one, hate the other, hate the one, love the other. Amen? Amen? How am I loyal to my wife? I'm loyal to my wife by going, woo-hoo, she's fine. Right? Focused. Does that make sense? You can't serve two masters. So what's he doing? He's walking on the word. He's walking on the water, but he's walking on the written word of God that God had said to him. Are you catching this? But then what happens? Then he sees the wind boisterous. I mean, no, to a fisherman, wind can freak you out. Because wind can mean stuff gets all, you know, that's what jacks up the boat, right? They're never out in windless day. They're just like, oh, this is great. There's no sinking where there's no wind. You know what? But boom, the wind starts, the weather starts. You know what? The weather started getting rough, right? The tiny ship was tossed, right? Right? Is that what happened? What happened, man? They were fine before that. But, amen? But then that happened. They got all jacked up. Is that not right? See, you can't, listen, you can't walk in faith and walk in fear. Make up your mind. And stop thinking that you have to walk in fear. You don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to walk in fear to your kids. You don't have to walk in fear to your finances. You don't have to walk in fear with your relationships. You can be free. Amen. You can be free. You can be free. You can today decide, you know what? I'm cut to the heart. I'm tired of playing around. I want to walk by faith. I want to trust in God's word. I'm going to trust in God's word. And you can be all in. You don't have to be like Peter. I mean, we can be like Peter. We don't have to be like Peter. Boom. He blows it. Why? Because he got his eyes off the wrong thing. Stay on the word of God. Joseph. He has the word of God. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk around. Get all these people to walk around. Every day I want them to walk around. Every day I want you to walk around. Well, what are you doing? We're walking around. And he knows, he understands. We cannot deviate. So he says, here's what I want you to do. Did I say Joseph? Yeah. Joshua. Amen. I get those two guys mixed up. Okay. What's his name? Joshua. Joshua has the plan. And the power for those walls to come down is in the written word of God. So he executes the written word of God. He executes that, and guess what happens? Boom. And he executes it and he tells these guys, guys, silencio, por favor. I want you to be quiet. Not even a grunt. Not even a Listen, this is important. Stop complaining.
That's right. No complaining.
Stop complaining with your looks and your you got a cutie. I praise God for all the people that are serving. Amen. I didn't see anybody washing windows. We had so many people come. If you're not coming, come. Make a decision. You're not too busy to serve God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. Sign up. Sign up today. Come 2 hours this week. Figure it out. Rearrange your schedule. Do whatever it takes. The plan is not to have 4 people on Monday and 8 people on Tuesday and 3 people on Wednesday and 2 people on Thursday. The plan is to have 10 people on Monday, 20 people on Thursday, 8 people on Friday, and 40 people on Sunday, on Saturday.
Amen.
Do you understand? See, this is for us all.
Yes.
Stop it. Just sign up. Just humble out and sign up. All the people that came this week, and I'm expecting more next week. I'm expecting more next week. Pastor, can I tell you what? I believe in you. I just think this every week. I think, you know what? Everybody who comes is going to hear the word of God, and they're going to respond to the word of God. Can I tell you what I think? I think everybody over here is going to tithe. I think everybody over here is going to tithe. I think everybody over here, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, I think everybody's going to tithe. I think next week we're going to just have the most biggest offering we had ever in the church. That's what I think, because that's how I am. I believe in you. I believe having confronted, listen, have you noticed? I don't teach anything but the word of God. I believe having confronted, you'll respond in a good way. Not a, oh yeah, that's what he says, but I don't do that. I never think you're going to do that. I expect everyone's going to respond. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care if you have a business. I don't care if you're, oh, but after I got 18 units. I'm so busy. I got 18 units. Oh, man, I would love the days of 18 units. My schedule was free when I had 18 units. The power was in the commandment. And all Joshua had to do is fulfill the commandment. And boom. As soon as they executed it, it was done. You learn something? The power of healing that man's eyes. Where was it? Jesus slaps that mud on his eyes. Where's the power? Here's what I want you to go wash it 7 times. I'm telling you what, when that guy said, I'm not going to 7-Eleven and getting Slurpee. I'm going to go wash my face, just like Jesus said. I'm telling you, that guy was healed the minute he went 7-Eleven, no. The minute he did that, the power, it was only a matter of time then. Do you understand?
Yeah.
How many are learning something today? The man willing. When did his daughter get healed? She was dead. When was she rose from the, when was the power there to happen? Here's what happened. When those people came to him and said, don't bother Master anymore, she's dead. Jesus looks at him and says, hey, right here. Don't listen to all that. Just listen to me. When he, and you got to understand, man, there's just these forces in your head. Don't allow your mind to control you. You control your mind. Amen. You jerk. Where are you jerking your mind back? The word of God. You know what? This man might have said, you know what? I'm going to believe Jesus. You know what? That's what he told Joshua. Meditate on it day and night. Sometimes your mind is going to go all over. But if you will meditate on it day and night, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to believe Jesus. You know, she's going to be okay. Jesus said, if you'll believe me, I'm going to raise her from the dead.
Amen.
Just believe me. I'm gonna believe Jesus. She's gonna be okay. Based on his willing to believe what God said in his word. Boom. See, how many want to be able to say, like Jesus said, hey, get her something to eat? How many want to get her something to eat times to come in your life? I said, how many want the supernatural, the get her something to eat? How many want that in your life? Okay, if you want that in your life, you got to go back a little bit. And you got to see the commandments that God has written to you in his word, and you've got to obey those commandments. Amen. Because we have all kinds of examples in the Bible, including this one, of Peter. What happened? Why was he drowning? Because he got off the word of God. I have two more quick points, and I want to wrap it up with this, but please listen. Some of you, haven't ever stepped out, you're believing, you're trusting God, you see it in the word of God, you're going to believe it, you're going to believe for your marriage, you're going to believe for your healing, you're going to believe for something, and you see it, you see it in the word of God, the promise of God, and you stepped out, and then all of a sudden you step out, and it doesn't happen right away, you see the wind boisterous, you go back to the doctor has already said again, I'll tell you what, this thing ain't getting better, it's getting worse. And then you retreated. You saw the wind boisterous. Here's what I want to say to you today in this story. Notice what Jesus does. He doesn't look at Peter and go, Peter, oh my goodness. Oh, I'm just going to work with the 11. You know what I mean? You're going to be fish food right now. Okay, I'm done with you. He doesn't do that. What does he do? He reaches down. He immediately, the Bible says, rescues Peter. Here's what I'm saying. There's not one of us who haven't stepped out and then backed off. Not one of us here haven't done that. Here's what I want to point out. I was studying this the other day. I thought, oh, man. Because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And here's what he said to me. He said, you know what? How many know it's good to be, don't you know, Drew, it's good to be rescued from Jesus? And then I heard him see this, or just think, you know, you get these thoughts. And he said, you know what? Everybody in heaven has been rescued by Jesus. Amen. See, how many know we can drown a little and allow Jesus to pick us up? But notice what Peter did. He cried out to God. Peter cried out. How many know you need to cry out to God? God, I need you. I need your help. Rescue. Help my unbelief, God. What does Jesus do? Jesus says, oh, come on, Peter. We got this. Hey, you know what? You're going to live to fight another fight. And how many know Peter was victorious in all kinds of fights. After that, somebody say after that. Last but not least, I appreciate Peter's willingness to go for it. I love Peter's willingness to go to it. There's a story later on, and Jesus tells them, you know what, to remember this is in Acts. Jesus tells them they've been fishing. They haven't caught anything. Jesus tells them to put the net on the other side. They put the net on the other side. Peter recognizes Jesus, and Peter just takes off his coat, and he runs to Jesus. Where's he running to? He's getting all wet, man. The boat is just right there. Just Peter, calm down. Just wait 30 seconds. We're going to be on shore. He don't do that. He gets out of the boat and runs to Jesus. I can't close this that I don't talk about the heart of Peter to just run to Jesus, to want to be with Jesus. You know what? Jesus says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. If you'll just connect with me, you're going to produce much fruit. You know what? You said, Pastor, how do I do it? All you need to do is just connect with God. All you need to do is just make a decision that you're going to spend time with God. You're going to spend time in his word. You're not going to allow all the clatter to get you off. You're just going to focus. All you have to do is do what you're doing today. What did you do today? How many had something to do today? How many are going to go home for the rest of the day and you aren't doing it? You're not doing nothing. All you're going to do is sit down and watch TV and do nothing because you don't got anything to do today. See, that's what I thought. None of you. I mean, we all got something to do. You all had something to do right now. You had something to do. You said, no, I'm not going to do it. I do got something to do. I need to hear the word of God. I need to worship God. I need to put my priority. I need to set my week straight. So the first day of the week, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to go hear the word of God. I'm going to do what I need to do. Now, Pastor, what are you doing? You know what to do. You're doing it now. Anything that God has spoken to you in your heart that you know is in the word of God, all you have to do is act on it. The acting on the written word of God will have the sustaining power to accomplish what God has sent it out to do. That's what he said. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for you to act upon the written word of God. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. You say, yeah, but that's hard. No. What, the hardest part is making the first step. See, once you make the first step, you know what I mean? You remember when you were little and you had the training wheels? Your dad's behind you, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Or you take off the training wheels. Like, I don't know if I can do it, Dad. You know what I mean? And you start doing it, and you're like, You know what I mean? And you think your dad is right behind you. He's not right behind you. He's stopped a long time ago. It's all you. And something happens in your head. You all of a sudden recognize, oh, my goodness. I'm a big boy. I can do this. Here's what I want. Here's what I'm praying that you recognize today. You can do this. Amen. The power is in you responding to the word of God. That's where the power is to sustain what he's told you to do. What is clearly in the word of God. This is the power unto wholeness. But how many know God can't push it on you? He can't force you to do it. He can put a pastor in front of you that's pretty outspoken, pretty in your face, you know, asking you if you're under 40 to raise your hand and then talk to you about tithing. He can do that. But when it comes down to writing the check, trust me, this ain't going to happen this week. You're like, I don't know what happened. You know, it's like, whoa, what are you doing? I'm reading my tithe check. Whoa, I don't even understand it. Some of you under 40, you're like, I don't even, what check? What's a check? I don't know, you know. Ooh, I'm going to my iPhone app. Ooh, look. How did that happen? It ain't going to happen. It's going to be you responding. But I tell you where the power is. The power is you're going to look back in 4 months and you're going to look back and go, oh my goodness, the power to sustain me, he's absolutely right. I'm functioning better on 90% than I ever functioned on 100%. That ain't going to happen. But what is going to happen, you trust God, you'll see it. But how many know you can't see it before? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says hope, having seen hope, it's not hope anymore. I can't say like this, oh, I hope I have a Bible. I hope I have a Bible. I hope I have a Bible. Ooh, I hope I have an iPad. I hope I have an iPad. How many know this isn't hope? Come on again. Oh, I hope I have an outdoor project. I hope we have an outdoor project. Huh? Hey. I'll talk to you later. I don't have to hope for those things. Why? Because I have them. Faith is the evidence of things, something not seen. The assurance. See, hope. When did I hope for the outdoor project? When we came out here and we had a tree right here. And we had a tree right there. That's when I walked out. Man, I'm believing we're going to have this outdoor project. How did we know? How did we know that this would all happen? Are you catching this? How many of God was smarter than us? How many know pastor looks pretty smart right now? He's like, oh, pastor. You know, talked to a pastor the other day. He's like, man, you were smart. I just laughed. I said, I wasn't that smart. You know what I mean? I got a bunch of people together. They helped push me off out of my comfort zone. Amen. My wife suggested. She said, Drew, you know what? Why don't you get some people together and ask them? And almost every single one of them said, you know what? We need to step out in faith. You know what? And if that means we need to borrow $200,000 or $300,000, let's do it because, you know what? We need to move forward. Amen. Oh. I mean, no, we look pretty smart right now. Yeah. Right. If you want to accept Jesus in your heart, you're not even a Christian yet, or you're not sure you're a Christian yet, you need to be sure. You need to accept Jesus in your heart. How do you do that? You just ask him. The Bible says, anyone who knocks, the door will be open to them. How do I do that? You just say a prayer. You can say it with me. I'll help you. Just repeat this prayer. All we're going to do is ask Jesus in our heart. But you have to do it. You know, when Shayla was a baby, you know what? She couldn't talk. But I take her mouth and I go like this, I'm hungry right now. I can't do that for you right now. But I can ask you to say a simple prayer. And if you say it and ask Jesus in your heart, he'll change you from the inside out. Today you can get born again. Just say this with me. Jesus, come in my heart. Help me. I need a Savior. I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me from all my junk. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. God, I love you today. Come in on my life. Change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.